Grand Rising, everyone. I like coming to live. Spirit and coffee. Got my coffee here, yummo. Yum. Okay, let's get started. Again, we're reading from the Emerald Tablet, Alchemy for Personal Transformation. Good morning, Dave. We are on page 11 of book. So, highly encourage you to purchase this book and read it. You're going to read it faster than I read it on here because, as you know, I read about two sentences and I start talking, start going on and on and on and on. So we're talking about, you know, the Philosopher's Stone and what that means. And basically, time is, hey, Linga, time is critical. Okay, once you master time, once you understand what time is and how to utilize it, you start to find your way back to the Philosopher's Stone, which is internal. It's in you. It's your own personal alchemy. Alchemy itself, spiritual alchemy, is not somebody else's process. It's your process. It's your process to the divine, your process to your interconnection to your soul, and your mythology. What is your personal myth and how you connect to that? And when we start to open up these keys, okay, these are the keys to open up. We start to open up these keys, we're able to create our own reality, our own universe, our own way of viewing the world. Okay. Now there are different words, obviously, to do this. There are different ways of seeing it, different processes, but everybody has their own unique way and their own unique language and their own unique way of expressing this. So when people are saying, well, who am I? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? I highly encourage you to become a spiritual alchemist. Start to journey. Start to understand time. Once you understand time, the reason why is because time is... there's a couple of things that time is, and one of them being the construct of our thought patterns and how we communicate. Now, there's more to it than that, and there's a lot more to dive into, but when we start to look at what is it that we're paying attention to and what are we concentrating on, what are we looking at, time is important because in this three-dimensional time space, right, it is time and space here. Now, we can transcend that, but in order to do that, we have to bridge the duality, right? Come into a place of non-duality or the non-dual, where we have transpersonal experiences. You know, that's where the psyche, right? Or we open up the unconscious mind, or we don't know what we don't know, and we start to pull from kind of the hat, right? If we're pulling out rabbits out of the hat, or we don't know what we're going to pull out of the hat, right? It's this big, dark space. Sometimes we're like maybe scared to go there because we're like, what the hell is going to come out of that dark, unconscious space that we hold? We don't know sometimes what's lurking in the unconscious mind, okay, and the subconscious mind. Oh, good night. You're going to sleep. You're sleepy weepy. Good night, Linga. Thanks for being on here. Always enjoy when you get on here, especially when we have our talks. Not surprisingly, when Balinese journeyed to India, he appreciated the emphasis on Brahman's palace and practiced meditation. Okay. One of the first Greeks ever to go to India, Balinese had adapted to the new custom and diet. Contend with roaming bands of thieves and learned about animals and plants completely unknown to the Western world. His followers tried hard to dissuade him from making the trip and most abandoned him after he left. I must go, he explained, with soever wisdom and my inner self may lead me. It's crazy. So everything kind of leads back to India, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know, it just does. And the culture, the traditions, the Eastern perspectives, mythology, and philosophies are so ancient. They had processes there that I mean, they're thousands and thousands of years old. In fact, any alchemist, and if you look back at like all the great people, right, like what we call the great people, they all went to India. They all visited India. They all went to India. Why? Well, because the philosophies in Eastern practices there, they had a system already. The system described what we're trying to read, describe why, when they have it in the text already. It's already there. The systems are already there. And the hidden wisdom. Now, the cool thing that I love about India, and this is, I lived in India. I love India. I love that place, right? Is that they have their alchemist. They literally will take what they are learning and they apply it to technology. See, they've had the text on technology forever. You know, if we go back and we read about these people who are engineers, physicists, all of that, they went into the text, right? The sacred text in India, and they learned from that. The Vedic texts. You're going to hear them talk about it. So this information is there, right? We're just reinterpreting it in the language that we speak today, because language has changed and morphed, and it's bent reality, right? It bends reality for us to see it a certain way or to engage it a certain way. But India is an ancient culture, and they have the systems. They have everything in order to manifest and create in the material world. Pretty, pretty cool. So any sage that they talk about, if you want to talk about the enlightened ones or whatever, all stem from India. I mean, it's pretty, pretty amazing, to be honest with you. Buddha. Right. They even say there's a theory that when Christ went missing, he was in India. I literally wouldn't doubt it, because they had ancient traditions there and practices. And now we're recycling them here in the Western world. We're trying to understand them because we're like, they must know something. And they do. They had the process to manifest in the material world, bringing the soul to life. How do you bring the soul to life? That's the question. How do you bring your soul into the material world? What does that look like? What, you know, if you're tapping into your soul, how do you bring it into a three-dimensional time space? Okay. So he traveled there, and of course, people were telling him not to. India gave Balinese a new hope for the world. I saw men living on the earth and yet not on it. He recalled, defined all on all sides, yet without fortifications, processing nothing and yet having everything. In a letter to one of the Indian hosts, he wrote, "By sharing with me your wisdom, you have given me the power to travel through heaven. These things I will bring back to the mind of the Greeks, and I will converse with you as though you were present." So again, anybody who hasn't been to India who's on a spiritual journey, please do so. Go. It's crazy, because it's like a goulash of religious practices. Now, on the spiritual realm, that's a different thing. But when we talk about religion, every religion's there. In fact, in neighborhoods, right? So you can, there's Hindu temples, there's Buddhist temples, there's mosques, there's churches, and it's all honored. It's all there. It's pretty amazing, actually. You can just go and pray, and then they have deities, right, that they pray to and all that kind of stuff. So the Buddhist monks, obviously you can go to the Mahabodhi or the temples there and meditate. They have Sikhism, Jainism, Jainism. They have everything you could possibly think of, right? It's just kind of like it's almost like an Amazon for religion. You can buy anything. You can go to any religion or do any religious practice there. It's all there. All of it. Pretty cool, right? So after Balinese returned from India, he traveled to a town and spoke in the marketplaces and from the steps of the temple. He attacked people's laziness and overindulgence, pledged with them to share their possessions with those in need. What else then have we to do but shut ourselves up in a home like birds to be fattened for use, and indulge our appetites in darkness till we burst with fat? He also urged his audience to stop wasting their time following Roman supporting events. Cruelty was a big part of the entertainment in the industry of the Romans, and he demanded the wholesale slaughter of 1,000 of humans and animals. On just one opening day of the Roman Games, 9,000 animals, including lions, tigers, and panthers, were massacred. So this is where the carnage comes in. Now, imagine being the voice of this in a time when this was like they wanted blood. And he's saying no. He's going against the grain. This is kind of the hero's journey in some way. This is kind of what we go through in alchemy. Not so if we looked at it from the time of today, yes, we have people rising up, stop killing the animals, stop eating meat. You have all those people. So we have a bunch of people. So the biggest thing right now is standing out, is standing in your own personal truth. People will fight against you. See, you're not going to be the popular one, right? They want you to go with what the masses say because that's what the masses want. And when you go against it, then people rise up against you. So when you're going through a spiritual alchemic process, or when you're going through your religious awakening or spiritual awakening or whatever it is for you, guess what? Your people are not going to be so happy. They want you to stay in the box that you are in. They're not used to it. And God forbid you say anything against what the masses think. That's why most people don't rise to the occasion and don't speak out. Why? Because then you have people, like back in the day, they would flog you, right? They would put you up there, flog you, make you wrong for the way that you thought. But imagine being in a system where you stand up and you go against the grain because you know it's not right. Right thought, right mind, right heart, right action. And you're like, this goes against everything that's right. But they want blood and you're standing against it. You're saying, hey, I don't agree with this. This needs to stop. Guess what? You're going to get ridiculed. And anybody, if you look throughout history, right, and I've talked about this before, anyone who stood up and spoke out and utilized spiritual alchemy, believe it or not, guess what? They were in trouble. Literally. What do you think that when they called women witches, they were using their spiritual alchemy? Then what did they do? They burned them. Called them witches. You know, Leonardo da Vinci had to work underground, and he could have gotten in trouble for the things that he did. Right? When we talk about the Freemasons, or we talk about the Knights Templar, we talk about any of these secret societies, they were hiding spiritual alchemy. That's what they were doing. They were sort of hiding the spiritual alchemy because guess what? If somebody knew that they had this sacred wisdom and understanding, they weren't popular. So he comes back and he says, hey, I don't think you guys should be doing this. I have this, you know, this sacred wisdom or whatever. You think he's going to be popular? Just like Jesus Christ, right? Those believers in Jesus Christ, it's the same thing. Christ wasn't popular. He wasn't, everybody was in all, oh, he's so amazing. No, they actually crucified him, right? That's his story. He wasn't popular. And a lot of times this work isn't popular. That's why I don't have about a trillion gazillion followers, right? People want people to give you the answers. When you have them within you, it's harder to hear somebody say, you have the answers, go find them, than to somebody to say, here's the answers. And here's who you are. And here's where we came from. There was a, and I haven't watched it, so I can't really, you know, I don't really know, but I know that there's Gaia it's a program that's out there. And I don't know. Good morning. The old man podcast. That's awesome. I know that he's talking about sacred geometry, but he's telling you his personal myth. And people will accept that as truth and start following his programming. Okay. To be an alchemist and understand the true workings, you have your own alchemy, your own personal myth. And that means you have to know who you are. You have to understand who you are. It's not a popular thing, right? There's not, Jesus Christ wasn't popular. Buddha wasn't super popular, not until after, but we still talk about their teachings. Why? Because they were saying the same thing. The answers are within. But we have amnesia and we start looking outside for answers. Now, I'm not saying that there's not guides and there's not people there to help us to understand ourselves, but if they're not walking through your own personal process so that you can understand out who you are, what your personal myth is, how you connect to the divine, how that interconnection is a very personal thing, they're not teaching you alchemy. What they're doing is they're enrolling you into their alchemy. They're enrolling you into their story. They're enrolling you into their programming. Now, is this right, wrong, good, or bad? No, we all live in somebody's programming, right? Our parents being the first ones. If we looked at our parents literally, because they raised us, programmed us. They were the first to program us. And they're the hardest programming to overcome. So literally, we are programmed into somebody else's storyline. Now, to reclaim our power, to be the author of your life, to be the contractor, they call it authoring your life, to be, have your own set of laws, right? Who's to know me? Who has authority over me? Well, I would say God. That's it. No man has authority over me. I know who I am. I'm very clear about who I am, and no one can take that away from me. See, that's the key. So when you had, like, even if you looked at, you know, Jesus Christ, he stood firm in who he was. I know who I am. I am love. I am light. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that he knew who he was. But he was brave enough, right, to stand in front of the crowds and say, I am. I know who I am. The only danger of man telling the truth is a million idiots following the lie. Yes. And that ends up happening. Thanks, Brian, for sharing. I love when people share. Hey, Nicole. So it's not popular. It's not. And it's hard work. Again, I tell you guys, I do this daily. It's an all the time. Constantly. let that be your passion and your obsession. I am committed fully to God, right? That's my commitment. If you guys don't know that already about me, I've been doing this for almost 4 years, and good morning. And before that, since I was a child, this has been my path since I was a child, but now I have a platform in which I can share, right? Now, the sacred teachings that I share, right, are a process to support people to tap into their own personal alchemy, their own personal understanding, their own personal connection to the divine. I don't know your connection. You can try to describe it, explain it, tell me this, that, Natalie, I have this, that. Okay, great. I'm never going to be able to experience what you experience. It's yours. That's the beauty. We all have our own. Which is awesome, right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's amazing. And then we all have our own unique way of expressing that, which is awesome. This is why there's no need for jealousy. There's no need for competition, because the way that I talk about alchemy is not going to be the same as somebody else, because they have their own personal language and process. It's not going to be the same. if you even this, let's even talk about this. People who are, and I think a lot of people are Christians, right? Are Catholics or, you know, believe in Christ. Okay, so we're going to use that. Go from one church to the other. Ask one pastor and another the same thing. Give them a passage and ask them how they interpret that. What does that mean to them? They're going to give you two different answers. It's not going to be exactly the same. See, those texts that we read are personal for us. Now, here's where the issue happens. We have to be right about the way we see it. Like, we hold on so firmly, like it has to be the way I see it or else. Okay, this is where arguments happen. This is where we start to collapse in conversation. We don't have the one way. There is no one way. There's many ways to get to the one. There's just your way. And what is your way? Well, I don't know. It's unique to you. So even in the passage, right? No, they can't come through God, but through me. Well, guess what Christ was telling you? He was telling you that it lives within you. Christ is within you. So you're not going to find it externally. You have to go internal and grow that relationship personally, internally. That relationship between you and the divine is sacred to you. We don't need people to see it our way when we have our interpersonal connection to the divine. We don't have to. I don't have to be right about anything, right? Especially in spirit and coffee. I've had people get on here, have totally different ways of viewing the world, and it's beautiful. The only question that I ask is it serving you? Is it causing harm? Or is it getting you closer to your divine purpose? Those are the powerful questions that we get to ask ourselves as we're journeying on, or we're soul questing. They call it soul questing. That we look at it. So remember, there's several different ways you have your way. If somebody's telling you different, and so there's language, and language is another thing that is very important to listen to outside of time, right? Time is critical. And like I said, I'm going to be doing time management courses. I'm going to keep doing them so that people can truly understand the alchemy of time. When they understand how to utilize time, it kind of opens up the key for you. It's a key. It unlocks something. It unlocks something sacred for you. Okay? Even if we look at time just in general, I just want to talk about time really quickly, because if we looked at time just in general, we know that time is a construct of man. But we know that we're living by that construct. And since the ages, they've been tracking time. There's been calendars that have been found by ancient cultures. And these calendars go by what? The moon, the stars, the sun, you know, the seasons. It's all of everything interconnected. So because we have a vessel, we live in a 3D time space, right? We calculate time now through what? Physics, classical physics, quantum physics. They don't know how to calculate time, and they put it in their equations all the time. Now, here's the deal, they're trying to shift it, right? There's this new paradigm that's arising in time, that time really doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as it. But then why are we experiencing it? So we can't deny it fully, because there's some experience of we grow up, we get old, we change, we evolve, we're moving forward. It seems linear, but it's not. And when we understand this, we unlock the secret internal and secrets within. Okay. Which is awesome. So we learn to work with it. We work with time. So when I speak time management, I'm not talking about, okay, let's get out our calendars and let's start putting stuff in there. No, there's something deeper there. There's an alchemic process that's there. And when we understand that, again, we unlock the keys, the keys to internal alchemy and to our eternal connection to the divine. We understand how to utilize our time wisely and not getting caught up. Okay. Awesome. So there you have it. The Emerald Tablet, Alchemy for Personal Transformation. Again, he wasn't popular. He was going against the grain, telling people to stop massacring animals back in the day. That's for you to decide what you want to do with your personal alchemy. What are you going to stand for? And you may not be popular for what you say or how you stand up. Right? These people didn't go down in history. They weren't popular, but afterwards they were. And then they became this big popular thing. Right? But during their lifetime, they struggled. During their lifetime, they battled. During their lifetime, they stood for what was right. And guess what? People wanted entertainment. Think of it today. People would rather watch, I don't know what's even out there. I don't even turn on the TV, so I don't know what's out there. I don't know what TV programs are there. But people would rather turn on the TV or TikTok's a new thing. I don't have a TikTok, thank God, because I could probably get addicted to it too. That they watch all this mumbo jumbo stuff because they'd rather be entertained than to literally hone in to podcasts like this. It's not going to be this most popular thing. It never has been, right? Or they want people who utilize or misuse this information for the masses and aren't giving you the true raw stuff, the real shit. I look at this stuff and I'm like, they're misdirecting the whole entire population. They do it purposely. Propaganda. If I really stood up and said my views, I would be crucified. They wouldn't be like, yay, Natalie, you're amazing. They would tell me to shut up and I'd be crucified just like everybody else. Not the most popular. That's not the point. But here to serve and remind and wake people up to remember that they have the power within them. I'll say it over and over and over and over and over again. I get amnesia. Yes, Spirit and Coffee speaks of these things, but Natalie gets amnesia sometimes. I have a group of individuals, right? I have a process that I use. There's a process for me. And I've just mastered it and I'm fast at it. My processing is like this now. I process pretty quickly. And that's because I've practiced it. Not because, whatever. It's just a practice. I mean, you guys know I've been doing this for 4 years. Come on. Good morning, Lurak. So remember, you guys are phenomenal, amazing. You have everything inside of you that you need. There's a key. The key is time. If you understand how to use time and understand how to create time, because if time is an illusion, we still live within that illusion and that paradigm right now. So how do we utilize it? And it's pretty magical when you understand it. Okay. Part and construct. It's a key. Keyholes have been coming up to me. What is the great keyhole around the world? We have these patterns of the keyhole. The sun and a triangle is usually what the keyhole is. So the patterning of sacred geometry, right, is another journey that I am on. And sacred geometry being something that comes to you, it's a gift that's given to certain people when they start going through their spiritual alchemic process. So literally, you'll have your medicine. If you start becoming a spiritual alchemist and you start looking into the process of spiritual alchemy, your medicine will naturally arise. You'll start to receive messages. And those messages will come in the form of art, dancing, sacred geometry. There's different ways that it'll actually arise. Okay. And that's your gift. That's your medicine to the world and to yourself. Okay, so there you have it. So I love you guys. Again, I'm doing time management class. If you go to Spirit and Coffee Talk, at Spirit and Coffee Talk, it's going to be a live event. You can meet me, those on Podbean who are on here, maybe want to join. You could go to my Facebook page and join the event. And I think it's going to be amazing. We're going to go deep into the depths of time. But what is time and how do we start to create it? So I think I'm going to call it time creation instead of time management. Yeah. Probably change the wording on that. Let's be real. Okay, so there you have it. I love you guys. Have a great day. And I will see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.